And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, the writer Samuel Johnson said something that may apply to me, and something to consider. He said, "Nothing concentrates a man's mind more wonderfully than the prospect of being hanged." And you know, that's probably true, because when you know you're going to be hanged, well, everything else just sort of falls off the agenda, you know, the docket, and you concentrate your mind very wonderfully on what's coming up, the chief thing, which is the noose around your neck. Well, today, when you expose the Jewish global conspiracy, and especially when you prove and demonstrate that there is in existence today what I would call a Judeo-Christian death cult. Let me say that again. A Judeo-Christian death cult. Well, there are people out there that would like to hang you. I can think of the gentleman at AIPAC, the American-Israel Political Action Committee. Think of them, the Jewish ADL. And then, of course, many Christian evangelicals who are in bed with the most hateful of the Jews. And they'd all probably like to hang Tex Mars, especially after what I say today. But here's a question for you, my friends. Why is it that the Christian community is so polluted today with apostasy? Of course, we have to admit that the Bible says that would be so, that there would be a great falling away from the truth in the last days, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And when I ask this question, why is it that George W. Bush, our president, who claims to be a Christian president, John Hagee, who is pastor of a 13,000-member church, Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, and one of the stars of Trinity Broadcasting Network, the world's largest so-called Christian network. There's James Dobson, who's on over 1,000 radio programs with his focus on the family. And a whole slew of Jewish neocons and so-called evangelicals. Why is it that they actually approve torture, genocide, even human sacrifice? On behalf, of course, of what they say is God's chosen people. How can that be? What is going on here? Well, that's what we're going to look into today. We're going to look at some of these gentlemen. We're going to look at, for example, the late, great, I say late because he's been deposed, head of the National Association of Evangelicals, Ted Haggard. And what did he say about Israel and the Jews? What is John Hagee saying in his new book, In Defense of Israel? And, of course, our esteemed president, our Christian president, so-called George W. Bush. I'd like to start off with something that John Hagee says. In fact, this is actually an advertisement, or advertisement, if you don't want to use my Texas dialect, of his own book. See, Pastor Hagee is not only head of Christians United for Israel, KUFI, I call it Goofy, an organization that is made up of hundreds of Christian pastors and thousands of laymen who all have put Israel at the top of their agenda even before Jesus. And by the way, Hagee's executive director is Mr. Brog, B-R-O-G, of that organization, and Mr. Brog was the chief of staff of Senator Arlen Specter, a 33rd degree Mason, and of course a Jew, senator from Pennsylvania. You see the connections here, don't you, dear friends, of Masonry, Judaism, and false Christianity. But now, Hagee has taken it one step further. He has always said that Jews do not need Jesus. They have their own covenant. And thus Jesus died in vain on the cross if he sought to save them, according to Mr. Hagee, that is. And Hagee now has a new book out called In Defense of Israel. Now, I'm going to play. It's about a minute long, but you need to hear it. And it has a little bit of music background, so sort of tune that out. And listen to the words. As Mr. Hagee, Pastor Hagee, I hate to even call him pastor, but John Hagee talks about his book In Defense of Israel, and listen to him as he explains that Jesus did not come to be Messiah of the Jews. Here is John Hagee.
I'm delighted to present my latest book, In Defense of Israel. This book will expose the sins of the fathers and the vicious abuse of the Jewish people. In Defense of Israel will shape Christian theology. It scripturally proves that the Jewish people as a whole did not reject Jesus as Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. It will prove that there was a Calvary conspiracy between Rome, the high priest, and Herod to execute Jesus as an insurrectionist too dangerous to live. Since Jesus refused by word and deed to claim to be the Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? Read it in this shocking expose, In Defense of Israel.
This latest book by Pastor John Hagee is destined to generate lively discussions among Christians the world over. It's available in most U.S. bookstores, or call the number on the screen and order your copy today. Call now or visit our website. Ask for offer B139.
Okay, that was John Hagee. In Defense of Israel, his new book. Not in defense of Jesus, not in defense of Christ, not in defense of the cross, but in defense of Israel. Israel before Jesus. In fact, Israel in place of Jesus. Talk about a replacement theology. Friends, this is replacement theology of the most gross and grotesque sort. Now notice what Mr. Hagee said. He said this book will shake Christian theology. Will shake Christian theology. He admits it. It will shake Christian theology. Well, of course, no one, nothing can shake Christian theology. This is an idle boast by devils. Because our theology, dear friends, comes from the Holy Bible, and it is firm, it is determined, and it never changes, regardless of what the purveyors of the false New Bible versions have to say about it. The Bible, and I'm talking about the King James Version of the Bible, will never change. They may confiscate it. It may be burnt in book burnings. And you may have to hide your copy, and I believe you will someday. It'll be called hate literature, but it will never change. Because it's the Word of God. You can't extract and leave out portions. You can't condense it, as Reader's Digest tried to do. It is the Word of God. He also says, and I quote him, Jesus did not come to earth to be Messiah. Jesus did not come to earth to be Messiah. Now, it's interesting that Jesus himself says, my kingdom is not of this world. But he brought a kingdom. Because Jesus said, the kingdom is among you. The kingdom is at hand. Because he is that very kingdom. This shows a great lack of knowledge of true spirituality by Pastor Hagee. Jesus is literally the kingdom of God. And Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the hope of glory. The Messiah is Jesus Christ. And he lives in you, and that is the kingdom. And we are the lively stones, the living stones. And he is the head, and he is the cornerstone of the body. If you have not Jesus, you have not the Father, the Bible says. But indeed, the Bible says he came to his own because he comes from the Jewish, or I should say the Israel bloodline. He came to his own, the Bible says, but his own received him not. Jesus said, I come in the name of the Father, and you received me not, but someday one will come in his own name, him you will receive. In other words, they will receive the Antichrist, Mr. 666, Satan's son. That's the Messiah for the Jews and all those who reject Jesus, who are in rebellion against him, who are part of the great falling away of 2 Thessalonians 2. In a sense, in one strange sense, Hagee, among his many lies, tells a small truth. For Jesus, although he came to be Messiah, knowing that the Jews would reject him, he did not accept them. Do you understand what I'm telling you, friends? You have a choice. If you do not accept Jesus Christ, he will not accept you. The Bible says if you do not confess Jesus before men, he will not confess you before his Father. The Jews said, we will not have this man to rule over us. And Pilate himself, their own governor, said, would you have me crucify the king of the Jews? And they said, we have no king but Caesar. And today the Jews say the same thing. Will you re-crucify Jesus? And they cry out, we have no king but Caesar. We shall have our own nation, our own kingdom on earth, our own prime minister, our own Supreme Court. We will not have this man, Jesus, to rule over us. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years, but the Judeo-Christian death cult is stronger than ever. And now they have leaders like John Hagee and James Dobson and the late Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and George W. Bush. And they are so happy that Israel is oppressing and killing and slaughtering and stealing from the Palestinians and the Arabs. And they say, oh, blessed times, basically. Anything Israel does is okay. And if they slaughter and kill, it's no problem. And if you criticize the Jews, they say God is not going to bless you. God will curse you for telling the truth. That's what they say. And if we have to torture Arabs and other innocent people, it's okay. We're doing it in defense of Israel. And Hagee says we're going to have to use nuclear bombs to destroy Iran and all of Israel's enemies. Go use nuclear bombs, America, imperialistic bully. Go do it in defense of Israel. And John McCain, who claims to be a Christian, was asked, what should we do? He says, bomb, 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 bomb Iran. What great Christians have these men never heard of the Ten Commandments, wherein we read, thou shalt not kill? But of course, there may be exceptions. I do believe that. Self-defense. But unprovoked aggression, unprovoked killing, stealing of people's land, stealing of people's oil or whatever possessions they have, placing them in gulag concentration camps in these Palestinian enclaves and building an apartheid wall as the Jews have done after stealing the land since 1948 from the Palestinians, believe me, that is not what Jesus had in mind. They're a death cult. I know of a Baptist evangelist who said he thinks that every Palestinian youth ought to simply lay down and take a bullet in the head from the Israeli Defense Forces. And I would say, he said, good boy, lay down and take a bullet. He wants them all dead. Oh, listen to me, friends. Proverbs 8 says, all they, God says this, all they who hate me love death. Any Baptist evangelist that would say all the Palestinians need to lay down and take a bullet in the head, that man is of Satan. Anybody who would approve waterboarding or any other form of torture or even try to debate what is the meaning of torture, you know what torture is. I know what torture is. And shut up, you people that want to debate it with me. Or I'll tell you what, how about George W. Bush volunteering for some waterboarding, if he thinks that's not torture? How about Jenna Bush doing it? How about George Herbert Walker Bush? Every senator, every congressman who's approved this waterboarding, let them volunteer for about 15 minutes of it and then let them see whether or not it's torture. Shut up, you devils. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. 200 years America has said no torture. We will not torture. Not that we never have done it. We just had to keep it a secret before. Now they're doing it openly and saying, well, we're not, this doesn't violate the Geneva Convention rules. These are potential terrorists. Did you get the word potential? Anybody can be a potential terrorist that they name. Anybody. Your mother can be one. Your five-year-old baby girl can be one. If they say so. The Judeo-Christian death cult. Now I want to tell you something, friends. There's no such thing as a Judeo-Christian. There's no Muslim Christian. There's no Hindu Christian. And there's no Judeo-Christian. You get my point? If the Jews in their own holy book, the Talmud, say that Jesus is a bastard and his mother was a whore and they reject Jesus and they say that he's boiling in holy or unholy hot excrement in hell forever, and that's what the Jewish rabbi's holy book says, and it's been proven. In fact, one of the greatest Jewish scholars in the world from Princeton University just published a book that he wrote called Jesus and the Talmud. He said that's what the rabbis believe. That's what they've taught for centuries. The cat's out of the bag, says a review in Publishers Weekly magazine of the book Jesus and the Talmud by the professor from Princeton University, a Jewish professor. But why do Bush, Hagee, Dobson, Robertson, all the other neocons approve torture, genocide, and human sacrifice on behalf of those whom they say are God's chosen people? Let's look at some of these people. You've already heard from Hagee, who says his new book, In Defense of Israel, shakes Christian theology. What a devilish statement. Who says Jesus did not come to be Messiah. Jesus came, but they rejected him. Jesus is Messiah. He was the Word who was with God from the beginning and was God and was made flesh and dwelt among us. Just because the Jews rejected him doesn't mean he didn't come as their Messiah. And let me tell you something. Every Jew, 2,000 years ago when Jesus came and preached for 3 years, every Jew who believed in him, he became their Messiah. He was the Messiah for the Apostle Peter, for the Apostle Paul, for his brother James, for his mother Mary. He was the Messiah for these Jews. As for those who rejected him, the great majority of the nation, even though John Hagee says the whole of Israel, on the whole, most of them did not reject him. Really? You better read the Bible, the Gospels, what happened, the mob, all the Jews, except that very few, that small remnant. God in his mercy chose a remnant of Jews. As for the rest of them, he said, I take the kingdom from you and give it to another nation. That's what Jesus said in Matthew. The kingdom is taken from you, he told Israel. And Matthew 23 says your house, and Matthew 24, your house is left unto you desolate. Ted Haggard, who was proven to be a liar and a homosexual, but he led the National Association of Evangelicals, which basically he had the leadership of hundreds and hundreds, thousands of evangelical churches. And oh, he was praised by all these people. They must have known the guy was gay as a $3 bill. They covered it up. And believe me, friends, I'm going to tell you right now. I've been out there. I get information. I get evidence. I have met many of these people. And I can tell you right now, a great, great number of Christian pastors and evangelists and leaders are homosexuals today. They have the spirit of deception and evil within their own bodies. And they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. It's not only the Catholic priests who are gay. It's eaten up in our Congress and our so-called Christian community. You can't talk Bible with a homosexual. And I met some of these limp-wristed homos. Some of them actually appear to be butch gays. And there's a lot of butch gays out there too. But the Spirit of God tells you what they are. In an interview in 2005 with Harper's Magazine, Soldiers of Christ, inside an article called Soldiers of Christ Inside America's Most Powerful Megachurch, that was Ted Haggard's church, he provided a new theory of war. Jesus commended a Roman centurion for his great faith. He said that this Roman centurion has more faith than anybody I've met in the whole nation of Israel. He didn't commend him for his war-making ability, for his ability to kill people, but for his faith. But Ted Haggard has a new theory of war. And Haggard was one of the advisors to George W. Bush. Listen to this. He says, quote, this is Haggard now. As head of the National Association of Evangelicals, he said, I teach a strong ideology of the use of power, of military might as a public service. According to the magazine, Haggard said that he was for preemptive war. In other words, strike at them before they've done anything to you. Because he believes the exhortations in the Bible against sin set for us a preemptive paradigm. So in other words, before you've even sinned, God's going to punish you. That's in the Bible? Where's that at, Mr. Haggard? And he said, if we're going to fight a war, let's fight a ferocious war. After all, he said, the Bible's bloody. There's a lot of blood. And this Haggard supported every mission of destruction that the White House proposed. In fact, he called one time, he said, I approve of President Bush's anticipatory retaliation. What is anticipatory retaliation?
Well, I think they're going to do something to me, so I'm going to go ahead and do it to them. I'm going to anticipate it.
What? Hey, that guy walking down the sidewalk? I don't like the way he looks. I think he might be a potential bank robber. Let's put him in prison for 20 years. And that woman over there, she has a funny look on her face. Well, I think she might be a potential murderer. Anticipating that, let's go ahead and give her the death chamber and the state prison. What kind of Christianity is this kind of theology? John Hagee, you sure are shaking Christian theology because you're deceitful and you're a liar. And so did Mr. Haggard. In fact, Mr. Haggard, when he finally admitted, he said, I am a liar. That's what he told his congregation after it was found out that he paid a homosexual prostitute to have sex with him. And of course, he also took illegal drugs, et cetera, et cetera. Here is a man, can you imagine his congregation going to for biblical, scriptural advice, and at the same time, he's paying male prostitutes for sex and taking illegal drugs in a motel room, and he's going to advise you on the Bible? Are you kidding me? And then listen to this. Every year they have a national day of prayer, an interfaith national day of prayer. Did you get that word? Interfaith. Interfaith. All faiths. Well, President Bush marked it, according to the Religion News Service, Dateline Washington, calling the United States a nation of prayer. Oh, yes. President Bush marked the annual National Day of Prayer with an interfaith ceremony at the White House. And he said, quote, on this special day, we give thanks for the many ways that America has been blessed. And we acknowledge the Almighty, who is the source of these blessings. The president told a crowd of about 150 leaders from across the country representing Christians, Jews, Muslims, and Buddhists, and Hindus. Did you get the point? On this special day, we give thanks for the many ways that America has been blessed, and we acknowledge the Almighty. Does the Almighty have a name, President Bush? Could it be Jesus Christ? Well, the Jews would say no.
And the Muslims would say no. And the Buddhists would say no. And the Hindus would say absolutely not. We have 3 million deities, including the cobra serpent goddess Kali, the sex goddess, whom millions of Hindus worship. The Muslims would say Allah and Muhammad is prophet. The Jews say Jesus is burning and boiling excrement in hell in their holy book.
Is it holy book or helly book? Yeah, I think it's holy book. The Talmud.
So, not to offend anybody, President Bush offended Jesus by not speaking his name and not confessing him at the National Day of Prayer ceremony.
Well, Charlie Dobson got up, chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. She's the one that invited all these yokels.
Wife of James Dobson, the founder of the Colorado-based Focus on the Family Ministry, perhaps the number one right-wing Christian evangelical leader in the world today. Miss Dobson said, quote, "The Almighty is pleased when Americans turn to him in a posture of prayer and repentance." The Almighty is pleased. He has a name, Miss Dobson.
And then Rebecca St. James, evidently she's a contemporary Christian vocalist. She performed her song, Honor God. Which God? Well, it could be Krishna. It could be Buddha.
It could be a Brogan shoe god. It could be the god of nature, Pan, the horn god. It doesn't matter. It's just God or the Almighty. He doesn't have a real name.
According to Miss St. James.
But it seems everybody there was pleased, including Lodi Gayari, a Tibetan Buddhist, who serves as a special envoy to the Dalai Lama, who calls himself a man who is a god from Tibet. And it goes on. I'm not going to read any more of that trash. You understand the big picture here. And by the way, they picked someone to lead the National Prayer Breakfast. Shirley Dobson was the coordinator to get everybody there. But Norman Coleman, a senator from Minnesota, was the guy who co-chaired it and led the gathering. And he is a Jew.
Obviously, he was pleased. They spoke of the Almighty. They spoke of some kind of a nebulous, hazy, unknown, vague God.
And King Abdullah II of Jordan gave the keynote speech. He too is a Muslim who does not believe in Jesus Christ being the Godhead.
Friends, it doesn't matter if you look at the Southern Baptist, Richard Land. Dr. Richard Land is head of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission since 1988. He's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and a member of the CFR's Religious Roundtable. And he's another big kiss up to all the religions of the world, evidently.
Now, if you talk to him privately, he's, I believe in Jesus. Oh, yes, sure he does. But he doesn't mind meeting and praying with all these other people. And neither does Rick Warren, who's a member of the CFR. And all these people are Zionist freaks who are part of the Judeo-Christian death cult. They have no judgment. The Bible says, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" That's what it says in Corinthians chapter 6. These people don't have no judgment. They can't judge anybody. Because they can't even judge that Jesus is Lord and He alone. They have no judgment. They also don't understand Psalms 9 verse 17. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted.
Exalted. Exalted. It also says the wicked shall be turned into hail. And all nations that forget God. Forget Jesus, you've forgotten God.
We've got a lot more for you when we return in just a minute. You're listening to Tex Mars, and we're examining or exposing the Judeo-Christian death cult.
Hello, friends. Tex Mars. You know, I want to invite you, if you have not accessed it, and if you have a computer and can get on the internet, to go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Free videos. There's several dozen free videos that you can watch. There's also article after article. Just punch on the button on the homepage that says articles, and you'll see a list, titles, several dozen articles that you can read at any given time, plus the feature article for this month. And by the way, if you have problem getting us on international shortwave radio, and I know it's a little staticky and it doesn't come in the best reception all the time, well, listen to us on powerofprophecy.com. Perfect clarity. And I think you'll enjoy the program a lot better. Of course, we have our catalog there, all of the books and tapes and CDs and videos, DVDs and such that we offer. And you'll see the descriptions of them and so forth. Powerofprophecy.com. We also have what we call a sister site, website, called conspiracyworld.com. It's basically the same, though, one and the other. They're a little bit different. You might check both of them out. But I think you'll enjoy. And some people have written to me and said, Tex, I stay on this thing for hours at a time and read all of your old articles. We have a history of archives. You can go back and read newsletters from years ago on there. So if you say, golly, I've just heard about Tex Mars. I've been getting his newsletter for 6 months. Hey, you can get newsletter for last year, the year before, and read them. You probably spend days on end on powerofprophecy.com. And by the way, there's a little place on the homepage for you to sign up, and we'll inform you each time when we have a new newsletter that's put on the web. We'll just send you a little email, and you can get on our mailing list by signing up. And all of it's free. Of course, if you order the books and videos and such, you have to pay for those. But what's on the web is free, and we don't have any registration. There's no forced registration. I just don't like these websites. Do you, friends? Where you go on there thinking you're going to get something. They say, first, you have to register, sign up. Then they ask you all these questions. They just want your name for a mailing list. You know, that's what they really want. And they're going to take commercial advantage. Hey, you can get to everything on our website without registering, without signing up. But if you want the notification when a new newsletter has been put up or a new feature article of some kind or maybe even some breaking news, then yes, do sign up. All you have to do is just give us your email address. You know, some of these people to register, takes you 30 minutes to go through all the stuff, and they want to know everything. You know, where you were born, and golly, we don't do that. We're not going to do that, okay? And when you do register, nobody's going to call you up and say, hey, we need money. We're not going to do that either. We don't beg for money here. We do have a little place on there if you want to be a donor, if you want to give to our ministry. After all, we're one of the few ministries in the world today doing the things we do. If you know of somebody else who's exposing the New World Order, who's exposing the Judeo-Christian death cult like we are today, please let me know. I don't know of them. I know there's some wonderful people out there, but nobody does exactly what we do. As I said, why, I've got death threats, and I've got people that they would like to hang Tex Mars. But with your support, we're going to keep going. We've been here over 20 years now, over 20 years in this ministry. And we're going to be here till Jesus comes again or till he takes Tex Mars home, whichever comes first. And we might go on after I die. Why shouldn't we? Just continue the ministry. Hey, it's not my ministry. It's Jesus Christ. So we'll just continue it right on. And your love gifts make that possible. And everything that you give to us over and above the price of some product, you know, if you designate it as a gift, we'll make it a gift. Of course, if you buy something, that's not a gift. That's you're just buying something. We're not 501c3, by the way, tax approved. The IRS has never come down and said, oh, what a good boy. Here, let me give you a pat on the back. They've never done. I don't think they're going to do that.
So we didn't worry about getting in this nonprofit stuff because we know they wouldn't, you know, we want to do what God wants us to do. And we don't, we do oppose a lot of public policies. And that's one of the things the IRS says. If you're going to be a nonprofit organization, you have to go along with all the government's public policies. We don't go along with abortion. No, no way. We don't go along with all the things that the government does, the killing the kids and so forth. No. Homosexual agenda, we don't go along with that. You say, but Tex, Congress says that homosexual, forget what Congress said. I'm telling you what God said. And so that's why we've never asked for 501c3 nonprofit status. Okay. Let's return to our regular program now. And we're discussing today the Judeo-Christian death cult. Why Bush, Hagee, Dobson, and other neocons approved torture, genocide, and human sacrifices even on behalf of those whom they claim are God's chosen people. You know, the Bible is so clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, says something. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It asks the question, what communion has light with darkness? What accord does Christ have with Belial? What part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean. I'm paraphrasing it for you. Go and look at the exact words to see if I'm misleading you. I know I'm not. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Do you understand that? We're not to be yoked unequally in a spiritual way with unbelievers. We don't have fellowship in a spiritual sense with unrighteousness and lawlessness, and we don't have spiritual communion with darkness and with those who are Baal or of the devil. We don't do that. But evidently, Hagee does. Why, his executive director of his organization is a Jew, an Orthodox Jew. And all the rabbis, I believe he actually takes orders from rabbis. Billy Graham did. Billy Graham said on the Larry King TV show that every day in the morning, every morning he is called by a Jewish rabbi and given spiritual advice for that day. That's what Billy Graham said on the Larry King show. Friends, I don't want a Jewish rabbi to call me and give me spiritual advice because the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. He is not a spiritual person. If he was, he could discern who Jesus is. Don't you understand that? Jews have nothing spiritual to offer us. Nothing. Jesus is the one we listen to. His scriptures are the ones that we listen to. But the rabbis, no. In fact, I don't even call them rabbi. Jesus says, don't call anyone master. Don't call anybody Lord except your Father in heaven. What does rabbi mean in Hebrew? It means master. So let's say his name is Goldstein. You're saying, Master Goldstein. Master my eye. I ain't on no slave plantation, friends. I'm in the kingdom of God. I only call one person master, and that is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my master. I am his servant. A lowly servant at that. Well, why don't they understand? Why are they members of the Judeo-Christian death cult? And why is it that they approve of the Jews? And what we're doing over in the Middle East is nothing but in defense of Israel, as Hagee said. And now they wanted to get us into a war with Libya, with Syria, and certainly Iran. They want a big explosion. They want American military might to destroy the Muslims and get us into another crusades, into a great global cataclysm. They would love to see Christian young men and women in American uniform dying so that Judaism and Israel can expand and own and control all the oil of the Middle East. That's what it's all about. Israel controlling the Middle East through use of American military might and diplomacy as their bulldog. It's time we said no. We're going to put America first. We're going to put Jesus first. What are the Jews up to? Why are they doing this? I think you can find it in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. In the beginning, it told everything. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn them. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Babylon said, let's build a tower so we can, you know, have a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Jews are building a tower of infamy in the Middle East, building a tower. They want Jerusalem to be the world capital of the Jewish utopia. And we will be their servants on the global plantation. They say we've got to do it lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And in the diaspora, they are scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. You say, Tex, they can't be mystery Babylon. Well, read Revelation 18. Read Revelation 11. There's Sodom and Egypt, the Bible says. That's right. Jerusalem is Sodom and Egypt. George Herbert Walker Bush told the United Nations on September 11th. Get the date, September 11th. September 11th, 1990 was the year. Out of these troubled times, and he's talking about now, this was the precursor to invading Iraq for the first Persian Gulf War for Israel. Out of these troubled times, a new world order can emerge, says President Bush Sr. We are now in sight of a United Nations that performs as envisioned by its founders. And who were its founders? The Jews. Among whom was a secret communist named Alger Hiss. And many others. What do the Jews intend to do to the world? What they have done to Palestine. Bring it into a plantation, subordinates. Create gulag concentration camps, superintended by drone helicopters and spies everywhere. And Israeli defense forces that can come with their bulldozers and tanks and demolish your home with you in it anytime they want. And they can put bullets in the heads of young Palestinians who have nothing more than rocks to fight back with. Israel Shamir, S-H-A-M-I-R, wrote a book called Pardes. Pardes. P-A-R-D-E-S. In 2005. Interesting book. He says that Palestine, which is actually the old Israel, is the model of the world the Americans want to achieve. Yes, because we're achieving this for Israel. It has peasants and their flocks dying of thirst. And on the hilltop overlooking Palestine and the Palestinians, there are villas and swimming pools for the chosen. The Jews drive around in their Mercedes on the snazzy highways of Israel and wear their bikinis down on the beach and take their illegal drugs and watch their pornography on their television while the Palestinian people drivel in poverty. And that's the words of Tex Mars. Israel, the chosen, has a huge army and it has laborers of the Palestinians without any rights. And in order to turn all the world into Palestine, they want to begin now World War III. They want to turn the whole world into a Palestine. They have wall apartheid. And the Palestinians have no right. They've lived there all their life. They've had generations of Palestinians, but now they can't even vote. They can't hold office. They have to show their ID. And you too are going to get a real ID, they call it. with a chip in it from the Bush administration. Mr. Chertoff, a Jewish ADL member, head of the Homeland Security, he's going to give you a real ID card too, just like the Palestinians have. And now they can come arrest you without any charges because you're a potential problem for the government. The Judeo-Christian death cult, dear friends, dear Christian friends, has you in its gun sights.
Recently reading a book called Utopia. Utopia by Solange Hertz. Talks a little bit about the Jews really want. She writes, like Cain who killed his innocent brother Abel, the Jews who killed Christ became fugitives and vagabonds upon the earth, finding no permanent rest and fearing, like Cain, that everyone that findeth me shall kill me.
Interesting, isn't it? The Jews fear everyone that findeth me shall kill me. They're fugitives and vagabonds upon the earth. What is the solution for the Jews? Jesus Christ, the hope of the whole world. But him, they say, we will not have this man to rule over us. And John Hagee comes and says, you don't need him. He's not Messiah of the world. He didn't come to be your Messiah. You have your own covenant. And Dobson says, yes, we need to use American military power to destroy the Arabs so that Israel can prosper. And so does George W. Bush say it. He says, God told me to attack Iraq. God told him. And I think God did tell George W. Bush, the God of the Order of Skull and Bones, Lucifer himself told Bush to invade Iraq without cause. 19 people, they claim, and it's a lie, took airliners on 9/11 and smashed them into buildings in the Pentagon, the World Trade Centers in the Pentagon. And of those 19, 17 of them were citizens, we're told, of Saudi Arabia, our ally, the oil sheikhs. Why didn't we go and bomb Saudi Arabia? And there was not one Iraqi or Iranian among the 19. What are we doing? We're going to kill a bunch of Arabs. We're going to kill them. Why? Because they're against the Jews. And they keep prattling on and on, like men in the jet, and the Iranians may develop. There again, we get that potential. There again, we get that possibility that they might develop an atomic weapon. Even though the Central Intelligence Agency says they couldn't possibly have an atomic weapon before 10 years. And even Colin Powell, former chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, former Secretary of State, said we don't really have a threat of an Iranian nuclear weapon. And even if they got one, what are they going to do? Walk across the water, across the oceans, and bring it to America? They don't have the nuclear bomb-carrying aircraft. They don't have sea-launched ballistic missiles. They don't have ICBMs. A little nation of 60 million or whatever the Iranians are cannot go up against 10,000 nuclear bombs that are in our arsenals. They know they'll be a dead man if they were to try something like that. But they can't even get to us. It's like saying there's a murder on an island out in the Pacific. And if we don't go drop atomic bomb on that island, someday he may come to America and nuke us with an atomic weapon. How's the guy on the island going to get here? Is he going to swim with a nuclear bomb on his back? This is the most stupid, ridiculous thing. But what it is, they want Iranians dead. They want Muslims dead. And they want you and me to be the murderer to accomplish it. They're saying to us, do it for Israel, in defense of Israel. And forget about what Jesus said. Forget about what God said in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. We need genocide. We need torture. We need human sacrifice on behalf of God's chosen people. Now, are they God's chosen people? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Who are God's chosen people?
I want to tell you something, friends. Anyone who's chosen by God will believe in his son, Jesus. Anyone who's chosen by God will confess Jesus before men. Romans 8 verse 9 talks about such people. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Dude, doesn't Hagee and Dobson, these people, read the Bible? Ye are not in the flesh. The Jews are in the flesh, and they reject Jesus. They don't have his spirit. But ye are not in the flesh. He's talking about the Christians now. You, Christian, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. If the spirit of God dwells in you, you're in the spirit, not in the flesh. And if you don't have the spirit of Jesus Christ, you're not God's. You're not of him. The Jews don't have Jesus. They're not of him. They're in the flesh. And the flesh profiteth a man nothing, the Bible says. Nothing. He has come to dwell in you, but he doesn't dwell in Jews who reject him. There are a few, a remnant, who have accepted him, who believe in him, who serve him. Thank God for them. But not most of them. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. But the Bible also says that those who do not believe in him are under condemnation and are headed for hell. Galatians 3 verse 16 says something about the seed. Who is the seed? Is it the Jews? Should we go there and kill Arabs so that they can have their land? We've already given them over 200 nuclear bombs. It's not Iran that is the problem in the Middle East. Iran doesn't have one nuclear weapon. Syria doesn't have one nuclear weapon. Saddam Hussein, it was proven, had no weapons of mass destruction. But the Jews have over 200, and they have vowed to use them. If I were the Iranians, I'd want to develop them too. If your next door neighbor is a madman and he has 200 nuclear weapons, you better have some defense against him. Maybe some nuclear weapons too. But it's okay because they're the seed of Abraham. And it's okay to dispossess the Palestinians because the Jews are physically the seed of Abraham. Who are the seed of Abraham? Galatians 3 verse 16 says it. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, that's God, saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. There's only one seed of Abraham, Christ. Oh. And then Galatians 3:28 explains it a little bit more. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. If you have faith in Jesus, you're not a Jew. You're not a Greek. You're not a Gentile. You're a Jesus person. Well, I'm a female. Not spiritually. You're the seed of Abraham. You say, Tex, I'm a Gentile. I can't be the seed of Abraham. Okay, if you don't want to be, that's okay. Then you don't believe in Jesus. You're not of him. I agree with you. You are not of him. If you say, I am not the seed of Abraham, you're not of him. Okay. Condemn yourself. Damn yourself. The tongue is a mighty weapon. It's a mighty instrument, the Bible says. And you have just damned yourself by refusing to be the seed of Abraham. Because it says in Galatians 3 verse 29, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Who is the heir of the promise given Abraham? Are you, dear friend, an heir to the promise? You say, not me. I'm not physically a Jew. I'm not an heir to the promise. Okay, you're not. I agree with you. You're headed for hell and you're not a Christian.
But if you do belong to Christ, if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And I have never, ever, ever had one, I've never had one pastor, an evangelical, or a Catholic priest who has ever been able to explain away Galatians 3, verse 29. In fact, they don't even want to talk about it with me. When they come up and say, well, you must be a Jew hater. You must be against Israel. You're not blessing God's chosen people. I say, who are God's chosen people? Well, it's the Jews. But the Bible says it's not a matter of flesh. It's a matter of spirit. And if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't have his spirit. Well, you're not of God. And if you don't belong to Christ, you are not Abraham's seed. But if you do, you are. It's as simple as that. Why make it difficult? Why make it complex? Why be stupid like Nicodemus who said, what does that mean, being born again? I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born again. And what did Jesus say? You are an elder of Zion and you don't even understand this basic principle of spiritual things? And this is what I tell Hagee. You claim to be a minister of the gospel of Christ and you don't understand Galatians 3:29. How difficult is it? How difficult is Galatians 3:28, the verse right before it says there's neither Jew nor Greek. If you're a Christian, you're all one in Christ Jesus. How difficult is that, Pastor Hagee? How difficult is it, James Dobson? Who are the seed of Abraham? Jesus' people. Not the Jews. Not even Gentiles. No race. It's by grace. I'm sick and tired. I'm telling you right now, I do have great pity for you. But you're deceiving people and you're bringing people down into hell with you. And you're of the goat God. What does that mean? I only have a minute or two. I want to explain that to you folks out there. You see, Daniel chapter 8 talks about the goat God. The goat God. Let me read it to you. Daniel says, and as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, from it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stomped upon them. The little horn of prophecy of the book of Daniel, that's Israel. In all the world, there are only about 18.5 million Jews. In the nation of Israel, there are 7.5 million inhabitants. The little horn, the small band of people, but they're supported by the great he-goat. Could that he-goat be the United States of America? Could it? The goat God. That's who they worship. And they worship the little horn that came up from among them. Oh, yes. France, Britain, the United States, Russia all approved the founding of the nation of Israel. The goat God, that's who they worship. And that, dear friends, is why they are all members of the Judeo-Christian death cult. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening today to Power of Prophecy, heard around the world through the miracle of the internet, powerofprophecy.com, and WWCR International Shortwave Radio. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.